evening. You know, what a wonderful thing if we could make the decision for you. We can't. Tonight is a night of decision for you personally. We have sung tonight about some that can say that there is a mansion prepared for me. We often end a gospel meeting asking people at the end of the meeting what is prepared for them. We're going to reverse that tonight. This will be maybe one of the longest moments that you spend in the meeting tonight. But I'm going to ask you now, what is prepared for you? Think about that. What is it? Young one? Older one? What is it? What are you trusting for your salvation? What is it that you are depending upon? I can tell you, if it's not Jesus Christ and His finished work, you are lost. What a solemn thing. Lost. What is waiting for you? You see, this is an hour of decision tonight. You can't sit under the Word of God and not be affected. You can't hear the gospel and not make a decision. If you're unsaved here, you've done that twice this week. You've had an offer. You've had a presentation of Christ. And you have said no. What is prepared for you? Brother Brian spoke Lord's Day evening about the great white throne. I'm going to look at that in just a moment. But I want to give you a couple of verses that are just a bit of a background for it. Be sure. Be sure your sin will find you out. What a word. We got messages over the telephones this week of storms that touched down where my son Christopher lives. There had been a series of robberies in the neighborhood. A twister touched down 9/10 of a mile from Chris's home, and it destroyed a home. And as neighbors went over to begin helping, they found the evidence of the thievery that had been going on in that community for the last many weeks. A man went in to help someone. He went in to help the people that were there. And there were the tools that had been stolen out of his garage. You know, that's an earthly example of your sin finding you out. But what we're talking about tonight is not earthly. It is eternal. There are eternal consequences to that offer of grace. And our prayer, and my heart was thrilled as I went into the prayer meeting tonight, and I heard brother after brother after brother pleading for you that God would open your heart, that you would tonight acknowledge at the beginning of the meeting where you are. If you were dying of thirst, and I said to you, I have water, and you said, Chuck, I'm not thirsty, you'd say, well, what is wrong with you? If you were starving and I offered you food, and you said, I'm not hungry, would say, "What's wrong with you?" Well, I tell you, dear friend, there is an awful, awful eternity awaiting you. I tell you that at the beginning of the meeting. I don't want to end on that tonight. I want to end tonight on the wonder of the one who went to Calvary. I want to end tonight on the wonder of the one that took your place, if you will have him. But there is, first of all, the acknowledgement that this is where I am. I don't have anything to offer. I don't have anything I can bring. I am bankrupt. Have you been willing, young person? Have you been willing to acknowledge that in your life? If you're an older one here tonight without Christ, I'm going to ask you something. Has this world satisfied you? Have the longings of your heart been met by the pleasure of sin that lasts but for a season? I don't have to tell you about that. You could take me down here and you could tell me about what our brother Mark was talking about, of the disappointments that come in life when you don't have Christ. I don't tell you that disappointments don't come to believers. But I can tell you something about what comes to believers. Disappointment, his appointment, change one letter, then I see. I see that the God that loves me is the one that has allowed that circumstance to happen in my life. And I can bless his name for it. I can thank him for it, no matter what it was. That's what it is to go through this life with Christ. I often marvel, what must it be to go through this sin-cursed world with no Savior, no helper, no one to point the way, no one to guide you? Now, where are you, young girl? Are you trusting Jesus? How about it, young man? Is he your Savior? I want to say to those that are here, I want to re-echo what Richard has said. We need your prayer that hearts, as you look around, might tonight, maybe for the first time in their life, really look at eternity. Not what man has, but what is prepared. Not a mansion, not a glorious future, but the blackness of darkness forever. Eternal banishment from the presence of God. And it didn't have to be. Banished from his presence. And you made that choice. Be sure. Be sure. Your sin will find you out. There's another verse that I'll give before we turn to the New Testament. It's from Amos. I still hear folks in the Bluefield area talk about dear brother Eli Dolger, because he used to have this verse on the back of his car. Prepare. Prepare to meet thy God. I want to tell you something tonight. You're going to meet God about your sins, either in the person of Jesus, here in grace, or at the great white judgment throne. It's not, Mark told you the other night, Brian told you the other night, it's not a question of if, it's not a question of maybe. It is a fact, it is a reality you will have to do with the living God. Where are you? Where do you stand? I'm telling you, I can't save you. The brothers that spoke this evening can't save, or the last evenings can't. But we can take you by the hand. And we can read the Word of God. And we can introduce you to the one that can save you. We had a man that came to the Bluefield meeting just a few months ago, 6 weeks ago. He may end up listening to this tape, so I won't say very much about him. But it was evident that he needed the Lord. He had the scars of sin. He had the scars of sin. And he had found out that Satan is a terrible taskmaster. So he had lived his life like some of you here may be doing. You've come here and you just say, well, you know, if I can get through another gospel meeting. I'm going to give you a verse that you may be surprised to know that is in the Bible. Did you know that God tells you in the Word of God to do anything that you want to do? Did you know that there's such a verse that says that? Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. And you're saying, you know, this is really great because I'm young and I have my whole life ahead of me. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine own heart. Listen. But know thou this, that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. That's what His Word says. I'm asking you again, where you sit tonight, don't wait to the end of the meeting. Listen tonight. If you're unsaved, our brother has mentioned, ask the Lord Jesus, reveal yourself to me. Show me how tonight that I can be saved. What is waiting for you? I'm a great believer. I guess people say I'm a bit motivated. I like to set goals. I like personally in my life to have a goal. And if I'm working towards something, to look to the day when that goal will be achieved. That's a wonderful thing. God has given us an imagination. He's given us a mind that we can think in that way. That we can think of something that is going to be, that we can anticipate it with our mind as though it is happening right now. I want you to do exactly that. I want you to anticipate that you have lived perhaps a moral life, a decent life. Maybe you have been indecent. Maybe you've found that the drug world is a world that is attractive to you. Infidelity. I mean, you can list sins all day long that are going on in the world that we're living in. But let me tell you something. Someday, there is an accounting. Someday, there is an accounting. Turn to the verses that Brian mentioned. Revelation 20. Revelation 20. If you don't have a Bible, you're unsaved here. Look on somebody's Bible. Read this. Because the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, is the one that is able to bring you help tonight. I've often said it would be a marvelous thing if it just said that there was a throne. But the Spirit of God says that does not really portray what I want to set before you. I saw a white throne. I saw a great white throne. Ah, and him that sat on it. Now, I want to tell you something. This is our Lord Jesus. This is him. But something has happened. He's not a savior here. No, this is not a savior. This is judgment. This is one that has been raised in his sins, her sins. They've lived life here. You say, well, I'm going to live a long time. Well, you might. You might not. Many remember 3 years ago, the mine outside of Beckley, West Virginia. Hundreds of miners working in that mine. If you're not familiar with the industry that I work in, many young men go into those mines like their father did and like their grandfather did. And it's a way of life. We have difficulty imagining it. I never have liked to be underground. I've been underground many times, but I didn't care for it. But there was a young man that was going to work on the second shift that night. And as he came to that coal mine, his father came out who was working the day shift. And he said to his father, "Dad, I'm going down to dance with the devil again." Can you imagine that? "I'm going down to dance with the devil again." And in a matter of just an hour or less, 34, I think, men were blown to smithereens. You say, well, I wouldn't dance with the devil. Have you been? Is that what your life has been? That you're going right along. You're enjoying what he has to offer. You're enjoying a world that is going to judgment. What an awful thing. "I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away." It says there was found no place for them. This is the end of time, young people. This is an event that is going to take place. You can be assured of that. This is going to happen. You leave this world without Christ before the Lord comes, you're going to be here. I can tell you that on the authority of the Word of God. Before the Lord Jesus comes back, something happens to you. You're going to be here. This is where you will stand. It says here, "I saw the dead." It's an interesting expression. What do you mean, "I saw the dead"? They've been raised. They died in their sins. They've been raised in their sins. They abused their body with sin here, or maybe they were moral, decent, everything you could say, but not saved. They're going to be raised in their sins. Small and great. I don't think that's a reference to size. Men that were important, women that were important in this world. Kings, perhaps, rulers, those that were of authority, others that were perhaps of no great stature amongst the children of men. Doesn't matter. If they were without Christ, they are all here. "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." What is this? I'll tell you what this is. You have no secrets. Everything that has been said, everything that you've done in your life, every sin that you have committed, it is recorded. There's also something else here. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. This has to do with your life. This has to do with you as you lived on this earth. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Can I tell you something about that book? None of these people's names were in that book. Not one. Zero. These were all unbelievers. The book of life is not to check and see if their name was there. It is, in fact, the evidence that their name is not there. They never trusted Jesus. They said, away with this man. I'm really not interested in his rule over my life. You say, well, I haven't said that. Well, wait a minute. What has your life expressed? Has your life expressed that you enjoy him, that you've submitted to him, that you've recognized that if grace doesn't save you, you will never be saved? These people didn't come that way. They were on the broad road that leadeth to destruction. There was plenty of company on that road. It's like when you go out into the world and you leave a Grove City College and you begin to talk to people about God's salvation, about one way, about Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father by him. You'll be in the minority. That is not a message that's received in the world that we live in. But what have you done with that message? The dead were judged. God's strange work. Hell, the love of God, spurned, turned from. I don't want that. I can go my own way. I can do my own thing. That the message of your life? Be sure. Be sure. Your sin will find you out. The dead were judged out of those things written in the book according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged. How many? Every man. How? According to their works. And death and Hades, or hell, were cast into the lake of fire. Do you see now why this message is so important? Larry talked to little boys and girls. Do you understand now how important it is that I know Jesus as my Savior? Mommy's faith can't save you. Daddy's faith can't save you. Your Sunday school teacher's faith can't save you. How important that I realize, even as a little child, that I must come to Jesus. And I come to him just like I am. I don't clean myself up. I don't work and learn verses and go to Sunday school so that I can say that I'm saved. Jesus saves me just as I am. We often sing without one plea. He's not looking for me to clean myself up. This one thing They all have in common. None were saved. Nothing prepared. The lake of fire prepared for Satan and his angels. And men and women and boys and girls. I say that have reached the age of accountability. What does that mean, Mr. Chuck? It means simply this. That you are able to understand the gospel. You're able to understand what Scripture says when it speaks of being lost and when it speaks of being saved. How many here would hold your hand up and say, I am prepared to meet the Lord Jesus on the basis of who I am and what I have done. Any hands? Anybody that would say, I'm not afraid of this judgment? It is a fearful thing, Scripture says, to fall into the hands of the living God. Any over here that would say, I'm ready to just meet Him just as I am? Or is there someone that would say, I'd like to be saved? I see some hands over there. I hope that means that there's some that would say, I want to know Jesus as my own Savior. That's what we've prayed for. That I want to bow to Him. I want to give my life to Him. That verse in Amos says, prepare to meet thy God. How do I do that? How do you do that? It's a much better way to end the meeting tonight. To look at how one is saved. Last year, we had a little 6-year-old girl who came down to the front and said, I'm lost. I want to know how to be saved. We went home from this conference, and a woman that had been coming to the meeting in Bluefield for 4 years, on Lord's Day morning, she said, Chuck, I don't know the Lord, and I want to be saved. You see, people are being saved every day. Is there one here tonight that would say, this is my night? This is the night when I personally want to come to Jesus Christ and I want to know Him. I want to trust Him. I want to confess my sins to Him. I want to be saved. Luke, if you would. Luke's Gospel. Chapter 14, and I'm just going to look at a few of these verses. It's 10 minutes till 8, but we want to see what we have here. It said that in verse 16, a certain man made a great supper, and he invited many. What a wonderful thing. You know, I like to give the reference to this as the gospel supper, the good news of the gospel. I'll tell you what we had before us in the young people's meeting today. That the cross, that bitter, terrible cross, that man awarded the Savior. Can I tell you a little something about the Savior that they hung upon that cross? He had evidenced in every way that He had power to forgive, to heal, to cure the diseases of men. The leper could not stand in front of Him. He was healed. The blind man was made to see. The man that couldn't speak was made to talk. The man that couldn't walk was made to walk. And that one was put upon a cross. You know what it is? It is the evidence that the heart of man is incurably, desperately wicked. I want to tell you the great victory. We sang victory in Jesus tonight. Do you know what God has done? God has taken that very cross and he has made it a rallying point. And he says, by the foolishness of preaching, I will save them that believe. I will go back and I will look at the cross where Jesus died. And I will make that cross itself the point around which I will rally believers for the whole dispensation that we live in. What a wonderful thing. Come. Come. For all things are now ready. Why can he say that? What does he mean, all things are now ready? Well, I'll tell you this. In the first 3 hours, our Lord Jesus suffered. He suffered from man. He was made a spectacle before man. When we see the Lord in before Herod's men, they mocked him. They spit upon him. They pulled his beard from off his face. They tore. It's awful. I'll just say. He was marred more than any man. I want you to know something. I'm not going to heaven because of what men did to Jesus. Do you know what rests in those 3 hours? Do you know what comes from looking at the first 3 hours? I see the guilt of the human race. I see the heart of man displayed there as the Savior hangs upon that cross. But listen, dear unsaved one, go to the next 3 hours. See that God put a curtain. He hung a curtain over that scene, a curtain of darkness. And it was in those 3 hours that Jesus took our place. He suffered once the just for the unjust, that he might bring you, that he might bring me unto God. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we, you and I, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition, but with the precious blood of Christ. Where are you? Are you in? Are you out? Are you saved? Or are you lost? Do you have a mansion in glory? Or are you going to fast forward and see yourself if you leave this scene? Are you going to fast forward and see yourself standing before the one who suffered on Calvary? I'm not telling you he suffered for you then. I'm telling you that the only way you can come under that blessing is in time, here upon earth, you bow your knees to him. I want to tell you something. You are going to bow them. Do you understand that? It's not if you bow them. God has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess Jesus as Lord to the glory of God the Father. That isn't optional. That isn't something that you may or may not do. Remember, it was things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. They will all bow. Where are you? Come, for all things are now ready. The Savior is waiting. Richard led us in that hymn. There's victory in Jesus. There's salvation in his precious blood. I can tell you something. There will be no one in heaven who was forced. Nobody will be there saying, you know, I really didn't want to be here, but something happened and here I am. No. No, those who will be with the Lord in that day are those who in time have said, I see tonight what maybe I've never seen before. I see. I am lost. I'm not sitting on a fence. I'm not partway saved, partway lost. I'm in or I'm out. I'm lost or I'm found. I'm His or I belong to the Prince of the power of the air. The Spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Do you know something? As a Gentile, you have no claim upon God. Lots of verses in the Word of God about Gentiles. No verses in the Bible that I know of written to Gentiles. You have no claims upon God. You come in grace or you don't come. Simple as that. Well, here is a sad ending for some. Here is a sad ending. They with one consent began to make excuse. The first said, I've bought a piece of ground. Has your excuse been as flimsy as this one? I've bought land and I haven't looked at it? What kind of an idea is that? I've bought a piece of ground. And I must needs go and see it. Listen, I pray thee, have me excused. Have you said that? He will. If that's your choice, you will be excused. He won't make you come. Second one, more ridiculous. I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. You know what? I'm going to go try them out. You say, wait a minute. You bought some oxen and you haven't tried them out yet. You're not a very good farmer. Well, it really wasn't really that. He was making excuses. He says the same words. I pray thee, have me excused. You know the answer to that, don't you? God will take you up on that very ground. You say, no Christ for me? He'll take you up on that ground. In a day to come, you'll see yourself where we've looked at tonight. Third one. This is really a mystery. Well, I've married a wife. At least it doesn't say I haven't seen her, but it says I've married a wife. And therefore, I cannot come. If you go over a couple chapters in this book, you'll find that there's a great gulf fixed. You know what the Word of God says to those that would pass from one side to the other? You cannot. You said, I cannot hear. God then says to you, you cannot pass over. This is why we said at the beginning of the meeting, the hour of decision. How old are you? How old are you? You a young person? Are you a teenager? 17, 18, 19? Where are you? Are you dancing with the devil? Is that what your life is about right now? Come to Jesus. Come to the one who can save you tonight. Come to the one who can deliver you. Come to the one that can break the chains that you found in your life. Come to the one that can give you purpose and fulfillment. Come to the one who loves you.
and gave himself for you. This ends with the invitation going out. It says down here, verse 22, the servant said, Lord, it is done as you have commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. I'm going to be there. Most in the audience here, I have no doubt, we're going to be there. But now tonight, you have a decision. The Philippian jailer, he sprang in, trembling. He said, I need light. And the apostle said to him, he said, what must I do to be saved? This comes close to home when I speak to Christian young people, or for those that have grown up in Christian homes. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You may believe about him. You may look at the money that's in your pocket. You may look at the date that you've got, and your life up until now has been characterized that you have believed facts about his life and death. But you've never believed on him. You've never said, Lord, I want to belong to you. He says, I want you tonight. I want you tonight to get out of your chair at the end of this meeting. And we need to go somewhere and pray. And just like John Smith did a couple of weeks ago, say, Lord, I've made a mess of my life. I'm a sinner. I'm lost, and I know it. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, I want to tell you this. Thou shalt be saved. Make no mistake. Where you are now is going to take you to where we have been. Two choices. The broad road, the narrow road. The prince of the power of the air, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if you'll have tomorrow. Don't know if you'll be, I don't know if you'll get home from Grove City. Don't know if I will either. One thing I know that you don't. If I don't get home, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. We have a house eternal in the heavens, the scripture tells us. I'm sorry. If you come not to Christ, I have no good news for you. Tonight, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, Richard has reminded you, I'm going to remind you, that it's a noisy room. Chairs are going to be rattling. People are going to be leaving. Babies are going to be crying. But what about you? Are you going to leave? Or are you going tonight to say, I heard the Savior call. My strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, come to me. We can tell you this. Tell you again, I wish I could get saved for you. I wish that I could for you do that. Jesus paid it all. This is the theme of almost everybody in this room. That we not only believe this, we sing it, we own it, that we owe everything to him. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. This meeting will be over. I will end in prayer. And I'm waiting for you. I'm going to wait right over here. I wonder, I would ask you before Lydia prays, is there someone tonight who would hold your hand up
and say, I want to be saved this evening? Is there someone that would do that, that I know that I'm lost? And I tonight would like to be saved. I want to say to those of us here that are Christians, look at the row that you're in. Look at those that might be under exercise. And when you see one, say something. Don't just walk away. Say something. Tonight, today is the day of salvation. I don't know about tomorrow. Miss Lydia. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Everyone, bow your head. And I'm going to ask you again before I close in prayer. Dear one, where are you? We plead with you. Come to the Savior. Come to Jesus. This is the hour of decision for you. We've prayed for you. The sisters have prayed. The brothers have prayed. Perhaps mothers, fathers, grandfathers, grandmothers. Now the responsibility of this meeting is on your shoulders. If you're not saved, you can be. O blessed Lord Jesus, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee that the Spirit of God is able to use this Word. We believe He has spoken tonight. We pray for those older, younger, wherever they are, the little ones that have heard Your voice, that this evening, Lord Jesus, will be their day of days. We ask that You would help them to have the courage to step out and, Lord Jesus, to own, as we have in this hymn, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. We thank Thee and we commit ourselves to Thee. In Your precious name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. I ask you to leave quietly. I can't make a hush on this audience. But I ask you as you leave to hold your conversation till you get outside. And we will wait for those whom the Lord has spoken to.